Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with our guest this week, Pete Burak. Pete is the Vice President of Renewal Ministries. He's part of our executive team at Renewal Ministries. The Lord's sending Pete all over the world these days, doing so many different kinds of things. But one of the things the Lord has led him to do is to write a book. And the book is called A Man on Purpose. And that's what we've been talking about so far this week. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net, catch up with our conversation on Monday and Tuesday. It was really helpful. Pete answers the why question of why he wrote the book and then began to get into some of the key content that's there. And it's a rich book, and it's timely, very, very timely. So, Pete, welcome back.
Thanks. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, let's take a little bit of time today to just dig into some of the themes, because you talked about having the book's subtitle is 10 Rules of Life from a Faithful Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so each chapter is broken down as set as a rule, kind of like this is necessary to grow as a man of God. And each chapter's rule is tied to either a story, a series of stories that actually happened between my father and I. So like a good one is, if you lead, they will follow, is a phrase I used to hear. I still hear. My mom still says it to me all the time. But the idea is that we're all called as men to some form of leadership, some form of leadership. Even if that leadership is just simply leading yourself and being kind of in the Lord, a master of your own emotions and your own sense and your own body, we're all called to discern our gifts, walk in our gifts, utilize our gifts for both the flourishing of ourselves and the flourishing of others. And what I get into in that chapter is this idea of true humility is not pretending like we don't have gifts, not pretending like we're bad at everything, but to acknowledge that we have been blessed with talents and gifts and skills that come from the Lord. So we acknowledge that we have them and we acknowledge their source. And then we say, Lord, how do you want me to utilize them? Because the truly humble person acknowledges the Lord has given me something, and therefore these gifts are at the disposal of the one who gave them. And it's not humble to hold back. It's not humble to be like, well, no, somebody else should do that because, yeah, you know, No, what's true humility is, yeah, actually, I've been given something, and the Lord has asked me to utilize these gifts, and I'm going to maximize them to the fullest extent. And so I saw this regularly with my dad, whether it was in sports or in business or in just other leadership, like when Christ the King Parish here in town was just starting to be formed as an actual parish and not just the lay association of the faithful and all this. At one point, they had to establish a parish council for the first time. And my dad didn't really want to be the president of the parish council. He didn't really go looking for it, and he certainly didn't need more things to do. But when Father Ed approached him about stepping up in that role, he recognized, actually, I have some gifts and skills that would be a good way to start this parish in this way. And so it was an evidence of like actually leading. He was able to lead the parish in that role. And so that this chapter is very much about helping guys say, okay, how has the Lord equipped me, and how am I called to maximize these gifting, not just for my own glory, but for the glory of the Lord and for the building of the kingdom?
Yeah, that's so good. One of the rules that caught my eye, if you lead, they will follow. Mm-hmm. And the idea of, this is where men might even look at this and say, well, I don't even know how to begin. You've been talking about some of that. If you lead, they will follow. Every man is meant to be a leader in some way.
Right.
Right? And how did your dad, give us an example or two, of another one of how your dad taught you how to do that.
Yeah, well, he wasn't afraid to lead my brother and I. We had a deep, deep relationship and a friendship. But there was never a time in our relationship where I ever felt like he wasn't still the boss. Like he was still the one setting the pace, setting the tone, setting the vision, being very clear to have true authority. And there's a problem right now, and I think society right now, of a misunderstanding of authority and power. Mm-hmm. Very often power is looked down upon as if you have power over somebody, that's bad. Because power can be manipulated, power can be used for nefarious and kind of horrible ends, which is true. But what comes along with that, unfortunately, is this degradation or this distrust of authentic authority. And in a family, the spouse, the husband and wife have true authority over the family. And in a particular way, the husband has authority to lead the family. And so even in the midst of having a tremendous amount of fun with him, I remember one time I think I was like 13 or something, and my mom and I, we have a deep loving relationship. We're good friends too, but we bicker from time to time. We're very similar personalities, and we kind of get on each other's nerves in different ways, push each other's buttons. And so one time we were in the living room and we were kind of going back and forth, and my dad was across the room, and he had heard it 1,000 times before, so he wasn't really paying attention. But I was feeling myself a little bit. I was peacocking a little bit, and I decided to use a 4-letter word in response to her. And all of a sudden, in like a snap, he was in my face, holding my shirt, not, you know, he wasn't beating me or anything, but he grabbed me and he pulled me close, and he said, son, you don't ever talk to your mother that way again. Like, yeah. That was disrespectful. That was wrong. And you need to apologize to her immediately. And it was like, yeah, Dad, yeah, of course. You know, like immediately, like as I was only 13, it was like, yes, I melted into a puddle of like, yes, I'm so sorry, Mom, you know. But in that moment, what was that? He didn't care at all if I felt bad in that moment. He wasn't in any way concerned about my feelings. He was making a point in leadership that the Lord had given him authority to do, to establish that this is not how we act. Yeah. This is not how men act. This is not how men speak to other women. This is certainly not how you speak to your mother. And so that's just an example of, like, if you're trying to just be your friend, the friend of your son or, you know, somebody in your family like that, you might have just let it go or say, hey, don't do that. But no, he led in that moment. He noticed the moment. He noticed what the moment required, and he was able to take action.
It's so funny when you mention that. I do remember an episode in my house growing up when I was in, like, first grade or something. Uh-huh. And I had, my oldest brother was a high schooler, teenager. And he had a moment like that with my mom. She said, Tommy didn't finish the dishes. Please go in there. And then mom walked by, and mom had hearing aids, so she couldn't hear everything. And he turned around and goes, go finish the dishes. You know, he started doing this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden my dad came thundering out of the other room and stood my brother up basically in the same way. And he just said, son, look into my, don't you ever talk to your mother like that again, mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah.
And I thought, I got the message. I totally got it. Just seeing that moment.
Yeah.
It's so vivid in my memory.
Yeah.
But that was a man moment in a good way too, you know, cause it's a serious thing, you know, honor your father and your mother, especially as young men, you need to honor. It's a role of a father to make sure that happens.
Absolutely.
You know, with young guys, you know,
right.
When they get full of themselves.
Well, and think about the witness. Again, this is the role of men with other men. You weren't even directly involved in that moment, and it taught you something. And this is why, like, one of the other rules is you need each other. You need community, both, and multi-level community.
Yeah.
Every man needs brothers in the Lord who are walking with them as peers. And every man needs guys who are a little further ahead who are both challenging, inspiring, and correcting along the way. You were there for this one. One time, you and my dad and a bunch of the other men gathered up. We went up to Northern Michigan for a little retreat with the guys. So all of my friends and their dads, and you were one of them with
Michael.
Was
that where you're going from 8th to 9th grade or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It was right in that age.
Yeah.
And so it was an awesome experience, right? We went fishing, we were prayed together, we badly cooked meals together and built fires and hiked and all this stuff, right? But at one point we played a touch football game. And so we were young enough, and you guys were young enough, that it was a pretty competitive game. You know, we're scoring back and forth. And at one point I scored a touchdown, a deep pass, and celebrated and started to mouth off a little bit to the dads, kind of talk a little trash. And then a couple plays later we scored again. And as I remember it, the boys came out victorious. But as we were walking,
delusional.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. As we were walking off the field, Mr. Rolfe pulled me aside and he said, Pete, you know, you're a talented athlete. You're a really talented athlete. And he said, but if you keep talking to people like that, somebody's going to lay you out. And he said, I'm not going to, but somebody will.
Yeah.
And he said, so you need to think about how you want to talk to people on the playing field. And I tell you what, man, I've never forgotten it.
Yeah.
Didn't mean I stopped talking trash, but I was a lot more strategic about it. And what it said to me was, again, he was trying to form me in virtue. And I knew in that moment, but I had known kind of conceptually that my dad had given him permission to do that. There was an understanding amongst the dads that we were collectively raising our sons together, that it wasn't just on my dad to do this work with me, but he had enlisted. And it was a community doing it together. And that is just such a powerful thing.
One of the rules is, will you forgive me?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a deep one in our family.
Yeah.
Brutal, right? Forgiveness was a major theme in our family, in that things come up all the time. People do things that either intentionally or unintentionally that hurt each other. That's just family life. You're going to say things, you're going to do things where there's conflict and all sorts of stuff. And so we weren't in any way a perfect family, but what my parents taught us from the very beginning was that when there was a rupture, when there was a disagreement, when there was harm done, we didn't just say, hey, I'm sorry, and go about our business and just kind of, or ignore it and just kind of hope it would pass. We didn't sweep anything under the rug. We used to talk about it being forgiving quickly. We tried to forgive as quickly as possible. And there was a process. If I punched Brian, I had to go over him to say, Brian, I'm sorry for hitting you. I will try not to do that again in the future. And then those painful stick in your throat words, right? Will you forgive me? Look him in the eye and actually ask for forgiveness. And then what was trained in us was that we had to extend it. So Brian would have to say, yes, Pete, I forgive you. And then generally they wanted us to give a hug too, which usually was slightly awkward and side hug and stiff bodied. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of affection necessarily in the hug. But what that allowed for was A, the humility to recognize that I've done something wrong, but also B, it eliminated festering in the family. There wasn't like open wounds in our family. There wasn't resentment that would develop.
Resolve conflicts, take responsibility, that kind of stuff. Because you're guarding the peace that the Lord wants in a house and in your relationships together.
And think about it, if you're listening, how wonderful it is when you encounter a man who's willing to own their mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like when you actually meet somebody who goes, yeah, I screwed up. That's on me. Yeah. And I'm sorry. And sometimes it's not even sinful. It could just be in the workplace where you go, yeah, I missed that deadline. I'm sorry about that. I said I was going to get this done and I didn't get it done. So sometimes that's of a more kind of temporal nature. But then any relationship, there's going to be sin that's involved in it. There's going to be times where we sin against each other. So to be able to extend and receive forgiveness. And one of the reasons forgiveness is so important is because it's something Jesus has asked us to do. Forgiveness is God's idea. He's been very clear, like, you need to forgive others. And he models it on the cross. And we say it every day in the Our Father. Forgiveness is baked into the whole dynamic of walking with the Lord. And as men, we need to be actually comfortable and expectant that forgiveness is going to do something in our lives.
A priest friend of mine always reminded me, said he gave a great talk on the topic as well, saying, you know, that fatherhood is the completion of manhood. Mm-hmm. And that every man, whether he becomes a priest, whether he's married, there's a fathering dimension that every young man's been given, and leading the way to guard the spirit of unity and the bond of peace in whatever situations you're in, to be able to exercise authority in a way that secures, heals, strengthens relationship, because you're overseeing community in some way. You know, you have a role as a leader to help have the right life within that community, whether it's family, whether it's a parish, whether it's friends, whether it's an organization, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of them, I use the example in the book, and I don't want to spoil it, but there's a profound moment where my dad apologized to me, and the witness of that and the power of that for the one in authority to acknowledge that something, that he had done something wrong, was powerful.
I tell you what, let's talk tomorrow a little bit more about, just dive deeper into things your dad did with you that are just very concrete things.
Absolutely.
In a deeper way. Where can people get the book?
RenewalMinistries.net/store. It's all over there, or on Amazon are the two easiest places to get it. Yeah, RenewalMinistries.net, A Man on Purpose, 10 Rules of Life from a Faithful Father.
Pete's going to be with us again tomorrow. Friends, I hope you can join us and ask other friends to join as well.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.